Ladies and gentlemen, the Columbia Workshop. Tonight, the workshop welcomes back Jack Mosman, a young author director who made his first appearance as a writer on the workshop only a few weeks ago. At that time, he offered a collaboration with Charles Jackson called Dress Rehearsal, a fanciful drama which excited a good deal of comment and brought in a number of requests from little theaters and university schools of drama for copies of the script. This evening, Mr. Mosman has turned his hand to comedy and written The Still Small Voice, which features Arthur Vinton and Craig MacDonald. Palmer, how long have you been my secretary?
How long? Why, since 1933, Mr. Markheim. It was in June, I think. That makes it just about eight...
Don't get complicated about it. Just say it's been a long time.
Yes, sir. That's right, sir.
Miss Palmer, how much do we know about each other? I mean, more than the first day you came here.
Why, a good deal, sir.
For instance?
Well, I mean, before I worked for you, I'd only read about your reputation as a famous lawyer. Now, I think I know why you are.
You do?
Well, I suppose, first of all, you have a remarkable power for analyzing people.
You mean I know how to take them apart?
Yes, sir.
Go on.
Well, besides that, you know what to do about them. Especially the people who need your help.
And that's all there is to it? Me, the lawyer. How about something else?
I don't understand, Mr. Markheim.
What's my first name?
Why, John.
Yeah, John. The guy you don't know anything about. Well, Markheim, the lawyer, is going to tell you about John.
Yes, sir. If you like.
I do. And you won't have to put it down in your little notebook either, Miss Palmer. But I'm going to say you won't have any trouble remembering the rest of your life.
The rest of...
You've been waiting long enough to hear it.
It's about you, Mr. Markheim?
It's about us, Miss Palmer. But first, you're going to learn something about this lawyer you've been working for. He's tired. Tired of the slugs and apes he's been keeping out of the cages where they belong. And I've got a partner I don't like much either.
Mr. Harwood?
Mr. Harwood. I'm afraid he's been associating with our clients too intimately. He's beginning to smell up the office as much as they do.
Why, Mr. Markheim, really...
Don't interrupt me. What I'm coming to is that I need a rest. A nice, long, expensive rest. First one I've ever had.
I agree with you, sir. You have been working very hard lately.
So have you, Miss Palmer.
Well, not really.
Then we'll assume you have. You're all... tired out, Miss Palmer. So you'd better come along with me.
What?
Oh, don't look shocked. I'll marry you.
Mr. Markheim. But I never...
You mean you never stopped following me around with those big, brown, adoring eyes of yours? At first, it annoyed me, Miss Palmer. Or should I say... never mind. But then I decided you reminded me of a cute little puppy. And I didn't mind it so much. Lately, though, you've begun to resemble a woman, and I need female companionship.
Oh, and I'm it because I'm the first one you thought of.
No, the last. The only one I've ever found even remotely acceptable.
Well, I don't know what to make of all this.
Palmer!
Yes?
You told me 5 minutes ago I could analyze people.
Yes, sir?
I don't care how much you lie to yourself, but don't waste my time. We're going down to the marriage license bureau this afternoon.
Mr. Markheim!
John, to you, please.
John, then. All the things you said, I'm bewildered. Well, isn't this pretty unfair?
What do you mean?
Well, it's just as if I haven't anything to say about us.
You haven't. Palmer, I was very fond of you as my secretary. You know how to take orders.
From now on, I expect you to feel the same way about my suggestions.
You make it sound as though there'll hardly be any difference.
I beg your pardon.
I mean, you don't seem to be thinking of me as a wife at all, the way you talk to me.
What's wrong with the way I talk?
Don't you see what I mean? Even after you proposed to me, didn't you want to... Well?
Miss Palmer, I am a busy man. Suppose we save the sentimental details for our honeymoon. Oh, incidentally, I suppose you'll be regarding that as a special occasion. Now, if you need any clothes or whatever it is that women think make them attractive...
I'm not sure I should even bother now. Oh, but there is one thing.
Yes?
Since the Waterbury case hasn't been settled yet, I think before we go...
Business, business. I told you I was through with it.
But, Mr. Markheim,
what's wrong with my partner, Howard? Can't that tramp take some responsibility? Or does he expect me to keep him all his life?
But Mr. Waterbury expects you to handle it personally. If anything went wrong because you left, well, the firm might lose his account.
After I'm gone, the firm may lose a great deal more than that.
What's that?
Hmm? Oh, nothing, nothing. I mean, it all depends on Howard.
Yes, and I don't think it's right.
My darling, I may get used to hearing your advice, but I don't think I'll ever take it. Now, run along.
All right.
Oh, and Palmer.
Yes?
On the way out, would you lower that window shade? Sun's making it rather warm in here.
Certainly. How far down do you
want... Oh, never mind, never mind. I'll do it myself. You'd better get your shopping.
Yes. John.
John? Oh, yes? And, from now on, we, needn't be formal with each other.
No. Well, goodbye.
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 Oh.
Let's see now. How does this thing work? Oh, confound it.
Leave it up, Markheim.
Huh?
That's it. Stay where you are. Right in front of the window. I need your shadow.
Who are you? Where are you?
Look on the wall.
Huh?
See me? Every time you move, I move.
By George.
Can you hear me?
Shh, please. Not so loud.
You know who I am?
No, and I don't care. Now, if this is some kind of a trick...
Best one you ever heard of. Markheim!
Yes?
You had a headache all day?
Why, yes, I did. A very bad one.
That was me.
You?
Yes. I was climbing out of that thick head of yours.
Now, wait a minute. What's this all about?
You don't know who I am yet?
No, I don't. And I don't...
I'm your conscience.
Your what?
Your conscience, that's right. All your life, you kept going from bad to worse. After a while, you wouldn't listen to me at all. But a man can't get away from his shadow, Markheim. And now you'll listen if I have to scream to make you do it.
Please, be quiet. You'll have my whole office in here.
That's fine. I can tell them. All about that money you stole from your partner, Harwood.
The money I stole? How did you know about that?
I told you I was your conscience, didn't I? I've been watching you all the time.
Oh, I see.
You've been keeping bad company too long, Markheim. But you're not going to get us in wrong. When you cashed that check on all the firm's money, I decided it was time I fixed you for good. You're going to reform. And you're going to bring the cash back intact.
It's unbelievable.
No, it ain't.
All right, all right. So, you think you can make me return the money, eh?
You're going deaf if I can't.
I see.
You'd better. I've been at this business a long time, Markheim.
What if I don't care what you think?
Then I'll just change your mind for you. You're not so tough.
I know what I want to do with that money, and nobody's stopping me.
Then you won't be a good boy and take my advice?
My friend, you can shout your head off, but I won't be listening.
That's your answer.
That's my answer.
Okay, Markheim. You asked for it. From now on, you're going to hear a lot of powerful advice. Good night.
horse you're picking in the next race, Mr. Markheim.
Oh, I like that brown one we were looking at, John. The one with the white patches.
You do, eh?
Uh-huh.
Care to put a bet on him, Mr. Markheim?
Bet nothing. I'll buy him for the lady.
From the office lately?
Huh? What about?
I keep thinking how you left Mr. Harwood alone on the Waterbury case. Aren't you worried about it?
Just leave everything to Harwood, my dear. Right now, I'm sure he's doing enough worrying for both of us.
Our honeymoon house.
What do they want for this place, Smith?
The rent is $200 a month, Mr. Markheim.
Never mind that rent stuff. Get me a bill of sale.
Darling, are you happy?
Oh, quite. What?
Would you mind if I told you something?
Well...
Remember when you proposed to me, how matter-of-fact you were, as if you really weren't very excited about it?
Yes?
Well, you're not like that anymore. The man I married is changed.
Oh, am I?
Haven't you noticed it?
Noticed it? Noticed what?
How much nicer and softer you've become ever since the day you proposed.
Have I? Well, it was charming of me, wasn't it?
I often think of it, how I came back to the office that afternoon after my shopping. And there you were, sitting so quietly. And your eyes, they had such a strange look.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
They seemed to say you'd just discovered something wonderful.
Wonderful isn't the word for it, my dear.
Had you been thinking of me?
Have you? Well, no, as a matter of fact, I hadn't, unfortunately.
Oh.
But that other thing is all over and done with. From now on, I assure you, I have only you to worry about.
That's nice.
Will you have more toast?
Thank you. Oh, John, isn't it lovely sitting here in our own breakfast nook? Just look how the sun pours in.
Yes, fine.
Darling, would you get the paper for me? I left it in the bedroom.
Why, certainly, dear. Huh?
You ought to get the paper, Markheim.
Huh?
Take a good look in the want ad. Maybe Harwood's got an item in about you.
Shh, not now.
Don't worry. Your wife can't hear me. What I've got to say is just for your big ears. If you're going to be stubborn about this...
Please, I'll see you later. Oh, nothing, dear.
Look, Markheim, I'm going to give you one more chance. As soon as you can tear yourself away from your toast and marmalade, come into the library. And don't forget to stand near the window where the light can hit you.
Yes, anything.
Are you sure you didn't say anything, John?
Why, I did, dear. I couldn't help but notice this headline. I guess I read it aloud, yes.
Darling, it isn't anything about the Waterbury case, is it? Did it come up?
No, just something about an earthquake. Nothing disturbing.
Oh, well, come and finish your breakfast, dear.
Oh, you finish, Anne. I've got to get some papers I left in the library last night.
But you've hardly eaten a thing.
And I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I've lost my appetite.
Well, all right, dear. But please hurry back.
All right. There's your shadow. Now what? Conscience!
Don't you yell at me! I'm the big mouth around here.
I'll say you are, and I'm getting pretty sick of it.
You've been already, huh?
That's what I'm here to talk about. You're wasting your time.
I got plenty of it. Just as much as you have, Markheim.
Now, let's be reasonable.
Sure. You give the money back and I shut up.
Look here. Haven't we always gotten along up to now? We've never argued before.
How could we? You never listened to me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I never knew I had a conscience.
That sure sounds great for me, doesn't it? You want me to lose my job? Next thing you'll be in jail. How will I explain that? Markheim, you better make up your mind to be a good boy and let's get some sleep nights.
sorry if I'm disturbing your rest.
That's nothing compared with what I'm going to do to yours.
So, it's a fight to the finish, is it?
Your finish, Markheim. Not mine. Goodbye.
Oh, wait a minute. Come back here.
Sorry, Markheim, but I'm in a hurry.
What for?
I got to check in with somebody. Let them know how I'm doing on your case.
Somebody? Who's that?
My own conscience, Markheim. My own conscience.
What? Who said that?
What's the idea of falling asleep reading that book? Put it down and turn out the light. How do you expect me to get any sleep?
Darling, the water's grand. Aren't you going in for a dip?
Thanks. But I'd rather stay where I am.
But, John, huddling under a beach umbrella all afternoon isn't any fun. We came here for the sun.
All right, if you insist. But I'd rather...
Get back under that umbrella, Markheim. If I catch you in the water, I'll shout you right under it.
Then you won't hear nothing anymore.
Romantic.
What is?
Dancing here in the dark, I think. With the colored lights flashing all around us.
Are they? I didn't notice.
I'll turn it round again, Willie. Pretty soon the ball's going to be over for you.
John, dear, is anything wrong?
Eh? What do you mean?
You've become so restless lately. Is it something bothering you?
Well, I can't say that I've noticed it myself.
But the other night at the dance, you suddenly wanted to come home. And then you couldn't sleep. And all night you seemed to be mumbling to yourself.
Mumbling?
Uh-huh.
Did you catch anything? I mean, what was I talking about?
Well, I couldn't tell, dear, but...
Oh, that's good.
What?
Oh, nothing at all, dear.
But everything is all right, isn't it?
Oh, yes. At least it will be. How much money do we have left?
Well, it was just about $25,000, dear, last time we checked.
I see. And?
Yes?
What if I told you I was thinking of going back to New York?
You mean our honeymoon is going to be over?
My dear, I'm afraid our honeymoon isn't the only thing that will be finished.
The only thing? John, you don't mean...
What?
I'll bet I know what it is you're thinking of.
You do?
It's us.
Us? Now, wait a minute.
So that's what's made you so restless lately. You're tired of us.
Oh, now, look here.
You want to end it. Why don't you come out and say it? You don't want me anymore.
Will you stop that blubbering?
I can't. Oh, I'm so miserable.
You're miserable? Why, you little nitwit, you don't know the meaning of the word.
Don't you dare talk to me that way.
Misery and I are closer than a dime on a wet bar.
And I suppose it's all my fault.
Who said it was your fault?
You mean it is?
Of course not. Now, who said it was?
Then you still love me?
Of course I do.
Well, then why don't you do something instead of just standing there, yelling at me?
By George, I will. I'll wring his neck. Plenty of reason, haven't I? Conscience or no conscience, you've gone far enough.
I call it a good start.
Now, look here. There's something we'd better get settled.
What?
About that money I took from Howard. Now, you think it was wrong.
That's right.
And you want me to make restitution.
Every nickel.
But after all...
No buts.
No buts.
No.
But you're not being reasonable. Didn't you ever think that there might be another side to the story? The good side?
Oh. Your side.
Yes.
Go ahead. Start talking like a lawyer.
Well, I've got a right to plead my case, haven't I? You seem to forget that when the Magna Carta was signed...
Maybe you better listen to me first. Markheim, you're a smart guy.
Really?
Really. But you've been acting kind of dumb. What do you think they gave you that extra big brain for? So you can get things easy?
Never mind the lecture.
I ain't giving one. I'm handing out orders. And it's about time, Markheim. You'd be a lot better off if you didn't think you knew so much.
I wish I knew how to give you laryngitis.
What's that, John? Who has laryngitis?
Oh, hello, Anne.
Is your voice bothering you, dear? I heard you
Oh,
say
no,
that...
no, no, darling, it's not me. I mean...
Ask her how you give a shadow a sore throat, Markheim. Maybe you can get my feet wet.
Shut up.
What?
Anne, will you please excuse me?
Well, you don't have to talk to me that way.
You better not, Markheim. You're not talking tough to anybody these days.
Will you please leave me alone?
What? What's the matter with you?
Anne, please, you must leave. It's important.
Not until I find out what this is all about. Maybe it'll explain a few other things I've noticed lately.
What are you talking about?
The way you've been jumpy and irritable with me.
Keller, you've been having bad dreams living with her, Markheim.
Yes, dear. It's living with you that... No, no, that isn't it at all, you fool.
Well, you call me a fool. When you can stand there gibbering like a lunatic.
Anne, you don't understand.
Maybe you don't. John, I didn't marry you to be treated like this. I've stood for enough of your bad temper lately. And if you can't straighten out and act like a normal human being instead of some eccentric, I'm leaving.
Please, darling.
Please, nothing. I'm going to my room. From now on, it's up to you.
You heard what you said, Markheim. It's up to you.
If it were, I'd beat your big mouth in so fast.
Go ahead, start hammering on the wall, Markheim. Then they'll put you in the nut house for sure.
All right, you win. Now, what do you want me to do?
You know what? All the dough goes back to Harwood.
But I don't have all of it. I've spent...
Then get to work and make it up.
But I told you I did most of the work in our firm.
Sure, and you took all the money. Stop quibbling. What's your answer?
Oh, all right, I'll do it.
Honest?
Yes, honest, honest, honest. Fine. Plane leaves at 3. I'll have the bellboy come up for our bags.
Whenever you like, dear.
In the meantime, I'd better go down and settle our bill.
John.
Yes, dear.
You do like the idea of getting back to your work, don't
Well,
you?
That all depends on Harwood.
What do you mean?
I have an idea he may have resented the way I left.
Well, what's so wrong about it? Simply because you took a little rest.
It's a little more complicated than that, my dear. But, we'll save that for some other time.
Some other time?
Yes, some other time. Time. Somehow I don't like the meaning of that word.
Why, John?
Nothing. I'd better go downstairs.
Oh, all right, dear. Go ahead.
I'll be right back.
All right.
I beg your pardon. Sorry, my fault. Hello. Hello. How are you, Harwood? Not bad. How are you, honey? Never expect to find you here. Didn't you? I planned it as a surprise visit. Yes, I imagine you did. When did you get here?
Oh, about a week ago.
A week ago? Oh, right after it happened, eh?
Naturally. Oh, by the way, the papers don't have it yet.
So I noticed. Very decent of you, Harwood.
Decent of me? Darn decent of you, I thought.
I don't get you.
Now, look here, Markheim. I want you to know I really didn't steal that money. It was just sort of a loan.
You didn't steal it? You mean... How much did you take?
Just half of what we had. $25,000.
$25,000? But how could you...
That is, I'm curious to know how you got it.
Why, it was simple.
You know Jim Reynolds, my insurance broker?
Yes, of course.
Well, I had him drop around, picked out a nice big policy, gave him a check, asked him for an advance on my ticket money, and told him to send along the check.
I see. And did he?
Why, no. I assumed you'd stop the check.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, as a matter of fact, Howard, we're in trouble.
Yes, I don't doubt that. Did you say we?
Yes, we. Reynolds took that check you gave him to the bank. It bounced.
Bounced? Why? The firm had $50,000.
Maybe it had. But not when Reynolds was there. You see, it begins to look like I drew out our balance the day Reynolds cashed your check.
The whole $50,000? What for?
Well, I thought that I might have to engage in rather a long search for you. Call it traveling expenses, if you like.
Markheim, you're a liar.
You're right. Well, then, let's call it a loan.
$50,000.
Yes. Well, that is approximately.
25 more than I took. You crook.
Now, wait a minute.
No, wait a minute. Nothing. I ought to have you arrested.
You're not making much sense, Howard. You and the fact that Reynolds is liable to do that is a favor for both of us.
Oh, the bum check?
Exactly.
How are we going to get out of it?
We're lawyers, aren't we?
Sure, but...
And smart ones?
Yes, but...
So we're going back to work fast. And maybe we can pay off before Reynolds gets tough and the whole firm goes to jail. That'd be a fine place to practice law, Howard. A fine place.
Oh, darling, wasn't it nice our running into Mr. Harwood down at the beach?
It could have been worse.
John, there's something I want to tell you. I'm so proud of you. Proud of the way you decided to buckle down to work again and make an even greater career for yourself with Mr. Harwood.
Well, seems I never appreciated that guy before.
Oh, darling, I'm more in love with you now than I ever was.
That's nice. You know, looking back, it's beginning to seem kind of funny how I decided to go back to work.
Oh, no. I remember how unhappy you were, John. You became so nervous. As if something were bothering you. Deep down.
Yeah, something was bothering me, all right. But, you know, everything that happened is beginning to seem kind of unreal.
You've discovered something very important, darling. There are only two things for a man in the world. His wife and his work.
You think so?
Don't you know that now?
Yes, I suppose so. But the one thing that had me worried... must have been only a cockeyed dream.
A dream, eh, Markheim?
What?
You think so, eh? Just try it again sometime!
Tonight you've heard the Columbia Workshop's presentation of The Still Small Voice, an original comedy written especially for this program by Jack Mosman, who also directed. Alexander Semler composed and conducted the music, and the cast included Arthur Vinton as Markheim, Craig McDonald as his conscience, Helen Shields as Palmer, Julian Knorr as Harwood, and Robert Selman. Next Sunday at the same time, the Columbia Workshop is presenting a special broadcast in observance of St. Patrick's Day, Cassidy and the Devil by Basil Heater. Cassidy and the Devil was introduced on the Workshop January 12th of this year, and there have been a great many requests for an encore broadcast. The day before St. Patrick's Day seemed an excellent time to gratify this demand. So Cassidy and the Devil will be broadcast again next Sunday at this time with Walter Kinsella as Cassidy and the play under the direction of Guy Della Chaffa, the original producer. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.